Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. 40 days ago, we began a journey into the wilderness. We followed Jesus, who was led by the Spirit, into that wild terrain. And there, Jesus was tested by Satan. Following his example, we spent the days of Lent fasting, praying, giving alms, reading and meditating on God's holy word. We did all this to see how we had drifted away from God, where we had fallen short of the glory of God, in order to repent and return, to reorient our lives to God. Last Sunday, we set out on a pilgrimage, and we began that pilgrimage with cries of, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But those cries quickly turned to the bloodthirsty shouts of, Crucify him! Crucify him! Thursday night, we gathered in the quiet intimacy of Jesus' last meal with his disciples, with those he called his friends. During this meal, he washed their feet. This action reserved for slaves and for servants, Jesus does to show the depth of his loving service. And he commands his followers to do likewise. At that meal, Jesus gives the gift of himself, his body and blood, the Eucharist. That same food we receive this morning, that holy meal that forms us into his body in the world. Good Friday, we went to the foot of the cross, seeing the worst humanity can do. On the cross hung the Lord of life, the one whose only crime was loving. He loved with a love so strong, the powers of this world feared him and his love. So they killed him on the tree. In doing so, they thought they could kill his love. Saturday morning, we gathered in the Sabbath quiet. Jesus, the eternal Word of God, was dead and in the tomb. The creation itself seemed to hold its breath. For in the silence of that day, God was at work. Jesus descended to the dead, freeing those imprisoned there. God was at work bringing life to places forgotten, to places considered beyond God's reach. Last night, we gathered in hope and expectation, kindling a new fire. From those flames, the paschal candle was lighted, proclaiming Christ the light of the world, a light so strong it fought back the darkness of hopelessness and despair. In that light, we traveled on to the font, recalling how we were washed in the waters of baptism and made a new creation, God's holy people, marked as Christ's own for eternity. From the font, we proclaimed Christ risen with shouts of, Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. Our Holy Week pilgrimage has taken us from the initial joy of Palm Sunday to betrayal, arrest, denial, and abandonment. We have seen Jesus dead on the cross and laid in a tomb. This morning, we find the women going to the tomb to finish what is required, to prepare Jesus' body for its final rest in that tomb. But things at the tomb are not as expected. The stone is already rolled away. The tomb is empty. Two men appear. The gospel says they are dazzling. And these men ask, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you he would be handed over, killed, and raised on the third day. Often, maybe even always, we think of joy and happiness on Easter morning. But these women coming to the tomb and encountering its surprises are not exactly rejoicing. In fact, they are terrified. They bow their faces to the ground. The women go and tell the 11 disciples their news, and the 11 find in their words an idle tale. Now, idle tale doesn't quite do justice to the original Greek. That original Greek is stronger than that. The Greek translated idle tale more fully and completely means the ranting of a person suffering from delirium. The men doubt what the women tell them. They think the women are delirious, out of touch with reality. The news the women tell is beyond comprehension. And so Peter, who has to check things out for himself, goes to the tomb. And he finds it just as the women say. And the gospel says he is amazed at what happened. There does not seem to be exuberant joy that we would expect on finding the tomb empty, on learning that Jesus is raised to new life, has been set free from the bonds of death, leaving the tomb behind for new life. Perhaps it is difficult for us to know how to celebrate resurrection. Perhaps we don't feel as joyful as we might hope. There may be difficulties and sadnesses in our lives. Certainly the world around us is full of violence, hatred, and injustice. How do we know Easter joy when we watch the news? In a post on the Sojourner's blog this week entitled, "Can We Experience Resurrection in the Midst of Terror?" by Eric Barreto, the author explores what Easter means, how we experience hope and the joy of Easter in the face of the violence of our world. He reflects that in the events of Holy Week and Easter, we see Jesus' death in all those who die unjustly. We see Jesus' death in all who suffer. Jesus knows the pain of dying a horrible death. Jesus knows what it is to be unjustly accused and punished. Jesus knows what it is to die when young, in the prime of life. And the death of Jesus defeats the power of death once and for all. Barreto writes, "In Jesus, resurrection is a fulfilled promise. Resurrection is present and tangible and real. I don't mean by this some simple saccharine sentiment. I don't mean that Jesus makes everything okay. But our confession as Christians this week is that death has already been defeated, that death has no hold upon us, that resurrection is not just something we experience in the future. Resurrection is for today." Barreto reminds us that Easter is ultimately not about the externals, the flowers, the music, candy, new clothes, nice as all those things are. Easter is not even a feeling. Easter is not something for the future sometime after we die. Easter instead is about a way of life. Easter is about the power of despair and hopelessness being broken. Easter is about the defeat of sin and death once and for all. Easter is now, this moment, this day, this life. When we set out on our pilgrimage throughout the week, I promised walking that way we would be changed. Walking with Jesus these days, we have experienced the power of God's love to transform us, to make us into a new creation. We have seen how God's love can set us free to love. The resurrection of Jesus assures us God is ever faithful. Just as God did not leave Jesus in death, so God will likewise do for us. Through the waters of baptism, we have died to the life of sin and been raised to the life eternal, that resurrection life of Jesus. As Paul reminds us in today's epistle, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. And we share in the power of his victory. Though the women were terrified and bowed their heads to the ground that first Easter morning, we do not have to. We can look at the evils of this world squarely and not fear. Death has no hold over us. We will never be separated from the love of God made known in Jesus through the power of the resurrection. In Jesus being raised from the dead, we have been set free to love. The power of our human impulses, greed, fear of those different from us, despair, and hopelessness have no hold over us. We must die to those impulses and rise to the divine life of resurrection. We are set free to return love for hate, hope for despair, joy for sorrow. Resurrection is not a feeling, a moment. It's not just this morning. It is our way of life. It is a call to conversion of spirit and of heart. It is our call to be set free from the powers of this world and rise to the life eternal. It is our call as followers of Jesus to meet this work confident of God's love, loving all as Christ loves us. The two dazzling men in the tomb tell the women to remember, to recall into the present what Jesus said to them in Galilee. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. In remembering, the women are empowered to go and tell the 11 apostles Jesus is risen from the dead. Let us recall into our present this reality, that Jesus died and was raised on the third day. Remembering these words, recalling this act of Jesus, changes everything. It allows us to face evil and the difficulties of this world and not be defeated. It calls us to go forth as the women did, sharing this good news, serving all in Christ's name, changing the face of the earth. So we do not search for the living among the dead, for Jesus has risen, and with him we are raised to the divine life. Let us go forth from this place set free by that power of God, by that love of God, that we can love as God has loved us. God's love is stronger than any power in this life. God's love is able to defeat even death itself. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Alleluia, and thanks be to God. Amen.